I read it from a reputable green team site. This is from the CelticsBlog.com, right, Murray?
Correct.
Okay. Bobby Manning wrote this the other day, and it was just a survey of the players that came out of the third lottery position. Not the third pick, but the teams that started with the third lottery position and what happened. He said,
This is Cousin Anthony. Welcome to the Bobcast.
I'm going to bomb this.
So that's where I got it from, Dave, just by the way.
This is the Bobcast. We are back. It's a weekday afternoon. I'm not sure which day this is going to be dropping, but what I do know is that back in the house on the Bobcast, for more regular appearances, is Miami's own Tony Capobianco.
Wait till your audience realizes that the guy who got hit in the nuts at Fenway Park a year ago is actually from Miami.
I thought he was one of us.
Nope.
So, I totally forgot about that. Can you believe that? That would have
we're
been
actually the... 2 weeks away from the anniversary.
When 17-year-old cancer survivor Jordan Leandre strolled to the mound for the first pitch during the Jimmy Fund telethon, it was emotional, special, awesome. No one was thinking about strikes or balls.
Really? So that's not even a year ago yet.
Until this. Tonight's honorees, the 1967 Impossible Dream Red Sox, probably didn't think that was possible. Nor did Jordan, who gave me the play-by-play when we met outside Fenway.
As soon as it left my hand, I knew it wasn't going to go close to the plate. Just once I saw it hit him, I just turned around and put my hands over my mouth. Like, it's just, I couldn't believe it hit him there, of all places.
This is the photographer's view. You can see the ball there just before sudden impact. Tony Capobianco of the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, sensing social media infamy, quickly tweeted, "You're welcome, world."
Yeah.
Jeez, I think you already talked about that once on the show, but how has your life changed in the year since?
Well, before, I never had anyone buy me a drink because of it. It's been a pretty funny icebreaker.
No way. You had a drink bought in for you as the guy hitting the nuts at Fenway?
The story ends like this. With Jordan and Tony outside Fenway shaking hands and smiling. After all, there's no crying in baseball. And Tony, the photographer, was a good sport to take that picture for us because he wanted to meet Jordan but said he couldn't actually do an interview. But he did tell Jordan he's doing just fine.
Multiple times.
That's unbelievable.
By minor league players. When I was before I moved to Miami, I still shot minor league baseball in New England. So I went up to Portland a couple of times, which is quite the party city, even though bars close at 1 a.m. The opposing teams like Hartford, or I think the last time I was up there, it was Hartford and another team. Oh, it was Reading. Hartford and Reading, that's who they were. And they would find out that I was the guy who got hit in the nuts, and they would just like freak out and want to take pictures or like to buy a drink. It's something like country bar. It's a fun place. They would then get their ass kicked in the 10:30 game because they would be hungover, but the fun part of minor league ball.
Who would have ever thought when you decided to enter sports media all those years ago that you'd become renowned as the guy who got hit in the nuts?
It's history. No one ever thought that. I think it was the first one.
Quite the photographer.
I wanted to be a sports writer. I never thought photography would be a thing either. So I never like went into it in college thinking, yeah, I'm going to stand close enough to be hit in the nuts in front of Hawk Harrelson and Carl Yastrzemski. The dude with the statue outside the stadium. His only time he'll see me will be that moment.
It's a great feat in photography, too. Like even the people shooting photos in Vietnam, like that famous Vietnam photo, you know, he was standing next to the guy with the gun, but the gun wasn't pointed at him. You had the ball coming straight for your midsection. As you were shooting the photo, you held through and got the shot, as we know now.
Yeah, I probably should just give him my camera. I have a new camera now, but I probably should just give it to Cooperstown, right?
Yeah. Have you framed that photo?
Right next to I got a printout. I haven't framed it yet. But the printout of the photo is in my parents' refrigerator.
It's still unbelievable. Did you ever have a conversation with the person who threw the ball?
Thanks, barely. I met him the same day, but I haven't, like, said much.
he never consoled you?
I was okay. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It was an inch away from being truly tragic, but it was close enough. It was just off just a tad to where we could laugh at it. I had a hell of a big bruise, too. It looked like, you know, like the old Devil Ray logo? Where, like, yeah, like the ray was, like, flying over some, like, oval.
Yeah.
The oval looked like my bruise.
Really? Yellow and, like, both red?
Both types colors and everything, yeah.
that's beyond black and blue.
Like, it was, like blue, red, a little bit yellow. It was, like, an incomplete electoral college map.
So, you're in Miami now. Different setting, no more danger organs being down there, I'd imagine.
Yeah, they don't let you stick around long enough to shoot the first pitch, because I would have had, if not, I would have had plenty of opportunity to get hit in the nuts again, because they keep, Miles keep parading out a bunch of celebrities throughout the first pitch. Like Shaq showed up, Lou Ferrigno showed up, Mark Anthony was here one time. They had Ron McGill yesterday. Like, one of those guys would have had the opportunity to beat me down my balls, but the way they ran it, I was always up the press box to hear the sound.
I'd only be worried if 50 Cent came up to the mound. That's the only guy I'd be looking for to have that pitch flying in again.
Oh, I hide behind somebody.
Although he does the Mets games. He's elsewhere in the division.
By the way, I love laughing at the Mets right now, because the Mets have, like, one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and the Marlins just basically went on a tanking mode. The team being accused of tanking by Brian Gumbel. Yeah, they're better than the Mets.
The baseball season's so damn long that it feels like 50 years ago that the Mets were one of the best teams in baseball back in April. And I was talking to some of my buddies in the dorm rooms up there, big Mets fans, and they were like, oh, this is the Mets year. It's going to be them. And I was like, all right, Mets Red Sox World Series. Let's get it. 86 all over again. And that is so far from reality now. They're not even going to make the playoffs.
They might not even make it out of the cellar.
They below the Marlins?
They'll be behind the Marlins.
Oh no, they're not.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I told you. Like they have a high payroll, and the team that's been accused of tanking is better than them right now. Marlins are actually third place in the American League Central. Not that bad.
So the Mets were taking an insurance policy out on Cespedes' contract, and they were asking them about the amount of money that's going towards that, and they didn't have, like, a lot of answers on that. But I guess that team's just taking out insurance policies on all their contracts. This is the same organization that has the Bobby Bonilla Day, but they just don't care about how much long-term money they're pushing down the line to probably lose in those years and pay for past losing seasons as well. So they have really reached the pinnacle of horrific management.
I think what happened with the Marlins and Giancarlo Stanton might set a precedent for other owners who want to, like, do some stupid shit. Where Stanton got, like, a giant contract, but the cheap years were the years DeLoria was still going to have the team before he would, like, sell it. That might be what the Wilpons are doing, too. Yeah, defer as much as possible so we can just get the hell out of there and not pay it.
What can they do as a sport right now? Because that's a great point. So many teams right now seem to just be kicking the ball down the line to cut costs and tank away seasons for draft picks. It's not as big of a problem as it was in the NBA, but this year we have seen, whether for a competitive advantage down the line or for immediate cost cutting, so many teams have taken themselves out of contention. Like, the whole AL Central, besides Cleveland, feels like they're just completely out of the picture. Then the AL East is a mess besides the Red Sox and Yankees. The NL is pretty barren, especially the NL East. And the NL Central isn't looking so great either. So up and down the league right now, it feels like it's one of the worst competitive platforms that the league's had in years. You're going to have, like, two teams winning 110 games between the Red Sox and Yankees by virtue of all the other teams they're beating up on.
Yeah, that's to say, but the Rays are one of the youngest teams in the American League. They're using the most rookies in the league. They're just as good as the Angels. They're around 500, which is funny. But unlike basketball, I don't think tanking truly exists in baseball, because in basketball, you really are trying to lose to get a higher draft pick. There really isn't that much development. Like when the Sixers was going through the tanking process, no one got better.
So
they got their guys, and then they started winning once they were good. But with baseball teams, they would play all their young players, like the Astros did, the Cubs did, and then they would just start the clock and watch them develop. And sometimes they'll lose at the very beginning, but eventually those guys still be there, much better than before. And then you see them as a finished product.
I don't even recognize a lot of these players manning the field for these teams, though. Like, the Royals come into town. The Blue Jays especially, because the Blue Jays were right there as World Series contenders
really good
a couple years ago. And now they roll in the Fenway Park, and I probably couldn't recognize 8 of the 9 guys in their lineup. Like, you don't see Jose Bautista anywhere. Edwin Encarnacion went to Cleveland a couple years ago. I think Josh Donaldson's still hanging around there, but a team that was one of the best lineups I've seen in baseball history just 2 seasons ago walked into Fenway like a ghost. I couldn't see the talent anywhere.
As someone who's got to cover the minor league teams back in New Hampshire, they're going to be really good in a couple of years. When Russell Martin eventually leaves, they'll have a new catcher in Danny Jansen. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is already kicking ass. They're going to have Anthony Alford will probably provide them with some speed and power.
Let's
also got those 3 sons, so eventually they're going to be really good again.
Do I have to put an asterisk on this? Did any of those guys buy you drink?
None of them did.
There we go. All right, so unbiased analysis right there on the Blue Jays' future.
Unbiased. Those guys didn't buy me any. One of them didn't even pay off his finals bet. So I'm still saying that they're going to be good.
So why are so many teams doing this at the same time, it feels like, then? Because I'd say over half the league is in no position to compete right now.
Another thing is probably because with performance-enhancing drugs being out of the picture, the exception of Adderall, most players are falling off at like mid-30s. You have your exceptions, of course, but most of these guys are falling off. So what you have now is a sport where cheap young talent at their mid-20s are outproducing almost everybody. So whenever someone gets injured or when someone's like about to become a free agent, I think most of the reason why there was like a slow free agent class was because a lot of these guys had a prospect in waiting and was much willing to give them a shot over a possible free agent in his mid to early 30s who would have clearly cost a lot of money. For Mars, for example, if they could have gotten rid of Ryan Chen or Martin Prado, who are both making a lot of money, they'd do it. Because a lot of the young guys are performing pretty well.
That's interesting because
all they had to do was just play Brian Anderson, boom, they got somebody.
Even in a big market like Boston that traditionally pipeline their talent from other parts of the league through free agency and trades and everything else, They've gone toward pulling people up directly from AA. We saw Mookie Betts make that jump. Xander Bogaerts came up pretty young. And then Rafael Devers came up and gave them a playoff push last year at an incredibly young age. So they really do seem to be trying to start these guys' major league careers ahead of time. Because in the past, it was save the service time. Like, they want to keep them down there as long as they could to save all that service time. And now they don't care if they're 19, 20. They're coming up because Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, those guys are owning the sport right now. They're 25, 26 years old. If, like you said, those guys aren't able to maintain past 30 years old, that really puts an emphasis on those 8 to 10 years that you have them in their 20s. And that's interesting because those guys are already halfway through their 20s. Do you think they're still going to be dominating the league into their 30s?
They'll still at least be good. Did you ever think that Hanley Ramirez would just be full-on mediocre at best, or Adrian Gonzalez no longer competent? Just a couple years ago, those guys were really good. All of a sudden, they both fell off.
Yeah, I know.
I think this something this is going to happen more.
Back to the Blue Jays too. Russell Martin was a monster probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I just looked at his stat line. He's hitting like 157.
Yeah, and they already have a replacement. You just saw him in the and he was both in the AAA All Star game. He saw him in the All Star Future game. Danny Jansen, he had a home run. That guy is going to be the next dude for them. So that all these teams, unless they're like completely horrendous in the farm market, like the Marlins were a year ago, most of these guys that are on the way up, they have a replacement for them already ready to go, and you can win with young talent. Like the Philadelphia Phillies have, and I think this is what the real model soon is going to be for baseball. The Philadelphia Phillies are the youngest team in baseball. They average around 26 years of age.
The Braves are down there, too.
But like the Phillies, for example, they got Jake Arrieta and they got Carlos Santana. Those are their free agent guys. So they got an ace and they got like a power bat. And then they let the young talent fill out the rest, and now they're in they're leading the division. So I think you're going to see something like that, where a lot of teams are going to build their young talents like the Braves, and then when the time's ready, just get their two free agents and they'll be good to go. You got another guess?
Yep. Your replacement's already calling in.
Hey, I'm not that old.
That's an interesting discussion, because with this becoming such a young man's game, that recognizability factor becomes even more prominent. Because we were talking last week on the show about the Mike Trout thing with Rob Manfred ripping him for not being a figure that people would recognize walking down the street. But there's other people who winding up in the batter's box you don't even recognize, which feels like the real problem. And if so much of the league's talent is infused from the minor leagues, how do they begin to market players who are already difficult to market when they were stars in this sport?
Two things. One, in the last 10 years, we've seen a media landscape turn from a three-sport coverage to a two-sport coverage.
Football and basketball.
ESPN, they don't give a damn about anything else other than those three sports. College football, NFL, and NBA. Like it's August, and they are reaching whatever they can to not talk about baseball. Like Bryce Harper could be traded to the Dodgers today, and you will probably get 5 minutes of that, and then 10 or 15 more minutes of, they're practicing! The Redskins are practicing! Like how great Miles Smith is thrown! Oh, Tannehill threw an interception. What does that mean? Oh, we'll find out.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Tom Brady ran away!
Or Jimmy Garoppolo with porn stars.
Like, Al Iverson is like, not talking about the game, we're talking about practice. Well, a whole month of that is in the NFL covers. They're
going to
come in the
pads.
They're practicing.
Allen Iverson with the big three is probably getting more press than the Miami Marlins right now.
Yeah, but they're trying to do that now. Trying to get like the big three out there. They got the basketball tournament. Like, they are reaching.
Hey, the basketball
just so
tournament.
Talk about baseball.
While Boeheim's Army was in the basketball tournament, that was a great product. Now you can have it now, but when they were in the tournament rolling along, great, great product.
That's all I've heard about in that silly tournament with Boeheim's Army. And it took me till now to realize what the hell that was about.
They've been rolling like 3 years now, too. Three or four seasons
with Boeheim's Army. The only reason why is because Arizona didn't come up with that themselves. If we had an alumni team, too, we would have went to Florida tournament. But they're all the NBA, so I don't think they would be eligible for it.
You're down
the whole army of NBA. None of them are good.
You're down in Miami now. How many cities did it take you to get back to where you were, where you grew up?
Well, if I think about that, I just got my 100,000th mile in my car. So that was the starting point. So it went from Douglas, Wyoming, to Los Angeles, to Seymour, Indiana, and Seymour, Indiana, you see the sign while you're approaching a highway. So Seymour, Indiana, you would immediately think, let's take a ride. Let's check out Kentucky. I've seen enough in Indiana. Let's try Kentucky. And then went to Oklahoma, in Oklahoma, which is nice. Got a shout out from Shannon Sharp one time. Then Boston. there's a New Hampshire count. I guess we can count New Hampshire too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Miami. So I'm literally a Johnny Cash song. Just 4 years, I went all over the country.
What brought you back to where you started?
So at some point, I pivoted from being a sports writer to a sports designer, designing newspapers. So I did that in Boston. That was my main job. And then trying to like pick up photography on the side. And then I got a new job with Gatehouse Media. And I just randomly applied to them. I did my interview basically while putting my pants up at the same time. Like I wasn't that interested in going to Austin, Texas, but I gave it, I was just like, all right, I'll just tell them that I can do this, I can do that. If I haven't done it before, it's because I wasn't asked to do it, but the workload wouldn't be a big deal for me. Nothing I couldn't handle. And I got the job, and I was like, all right, I'll probably need to like buy some time to figure out, do I want to leave Boston for Austin or do I go? And then they told me that this job was remote, or it can be remote. I just have to pick a place, and they'll just give me a work computer. So once I realized I can, instead of trying to get a job in Miami, which I realized was getting increasingly harder in my industry, I'll just bring a job with me. Because of that, I'm back in Miami.
What's that been like working in Austin from Miami?
Well, the reason why they do it is because Gatehouse Media is buying more and more papers over the years. Like, they just picked up Palm Beach Post, which will be in our cycle by September. With more papers means more designers. But we can't just, like, but Austin's basically their headquarters for that. And it's just going to overpopulate. So what they've done was they've allowed people that they want to keep or new hires to work wherever they are. Being in Miami, working in my condo, sometimes in a worn Sapp jersey, I go on the computer, we have like a Google chat, I have like a list of assignments, usually just two papers, and I go on Amazon Workspace, do some Citrix thing, which then turns my Mac into a PC, and then work from there. Well, I'm just basically staring in front of the computer for 8 hours, so it almost doesn't really matter where I do it.
That really speaks to the massive amount of consolidation that we've seen in media, too, now that these companies owning all of these papers aren't even really able to micromanage them, so they're just having people all over the country assume the job.
Well, the designing part is, with Gatehouse, it's really just like designing that they try to like center one area. But at least what I've noticed with Gatehouse Media is, and I think the same goes for my last company, CNHI, which merged with Raycom, is they just own the papers. Each paper still has a publisher, and they have like a staff. And because Gatehouse has like a uniform layout style, all those papers will just, with the exception of a few, will outsource their designers to us. So Palm Beach Post will look just like all the wicked local papers, which will look just like the Stockton Record, which will look just like...
Yeah, I don't love that, especially the websites. The websites definitely all look the same.
Yeah, but that's also a commonality. Like all the CNHI websites look the same. All the Gatehouse websites look the same. The Miami Herald website looks just like any other McClatchy-owned website. You might have a few actual like unique websites, but for the most part, they're all following a simple template. So if you don't like one of them, you're going to hate them all.
Mm-hmm. And I do.
But I think newspapers are really, yeah. And I think newspapers are meant to actually have rather than just look through the website.
That's the Bobcast for this week. We're going to be talking to Tony Capobianco most Mondays. So look forward to that. Tony, it's good to have you back in Miami and here on the Bobcast. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let's do this more often. It's actually kind of fun.
So that's where I got it from, Dave.
Bobcast.